Drew, and
this is Brad
with the Unidentified Flying Podcast. Time for another episode. We've been talking about this one for a while.
We're really getting abducted today.
Yeah, definitely. So real quick, so Brad doesn't yell at me, at UFP on Twitter, UFPpodcast@gmail.com, and Unidentified Flying Podcast on Facebook. Any comments, critiques,
hate mail,
send it all there, and we'll ignore it. No, I'm just kidding. No, we would actually like to get some. If we get some, you know, pretty good ones, I mean, I've got no problem at some juncture doing, like, you know, like a mail call. But we need to be more popular first, I think.
We've got some good comments on just, you know, random episode or, like, what people would like to hear.
Okay.
And it's just, like, a one-comment thing. Like, we got some pretty good comments on the last episode we did where it was, like, the local stuff. But earthquakes. There's been a lot of earthquakes lately.
Sure.
So, everyone liked that, I think, so.
Okay.
Hey, we might follow up on that.
Okay, cool. Well, until then, this is going to be the big X-Files extravaganza episode. We're gonna talk about maybe some sort of, maybe the spiritual successor to the X-Files, or maybe a couple of them. Some shows that kind of follow the same sort of formula as the X-Files. Then we're going to get into the X-Files, the meat and potatoes of this conversation, the X-Files itself. And then kind of leading into the new 6-episode run that's going to come out in, 2 days?
Yeah.
So, to help us with that, we have our first guest on Unidentified Flying Podcast, what do you want to call him, our X-Files correspondent?
That's right.
Our X-Files expert. And this is Steve. Steve, hello. Say hello to everybody, all 4 people listening.
What's up, guys?
All right, there you go. Steve is, I've known Steve for way too long.
About 2 weeks now?
Yeah, 2 weeks. but no, I've known Steve for a very long time, very good friend. And, I mean, all kidding aside, a very astute student of the X-Files game,
ooh,
I would say. The type of person that will quote director's commentary to you. So,
setting the bar a little high.
Well, I mean, hey, you said it yourself, man, so...
I mean, you seem like you're into a lot of different, you know, shows and films and stuff anyway. Like, you can name actors off the top of your head fairly well. Like,
Yeah, whenever nobody's paying attention, usually. Yeah. Yeah.
That's spot, exactly when you want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm put on the spot and someone's like, hey, who did this? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Well, you're on the spot now, so.
All right, perfect.
One of the main things that I think, and it's always interesting to me, you told me about this forever ago. I totally forgot about it. And then in the weeks and, you know, leading up to us doing this podcast, when I was talking to you about it, you mentioned it again, and that's a show by the name of Kolchak, the Night Hunter.
Night Stalker, I'm sorry. Kolchak.
Kolchak. Yeah. See, like I said, I didn't know anything about it until you told me about it, and that this is basically, in a lot of ways, you believe, the predecessor, they laid the blueprint for the X-Files
in a lot
of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And who, I'm trying to remember, what was the guy's name that played the...
It's Darren McGavin.
Darren McGavin, which...
The dad from Christmas Story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a major award, you know, for Gile.
Must be Italian.
Yeah, must be Italian, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, well, I didn't know that. Okay, so great. So tell us a little bit about Kolchak.
Okay.
Kolchak.
Well, okay. You say that, and I hadn't watched the show in so long, I went back and watched it because, you know, we'd talked about it a little bit, so I watched the first episode. And people in the show even call him Kolchak and Kolchak. It kind of vacillates a little bit there.
Okay.
But yeah, he's a reporter for, I can't remember the name of the damn newspaper, whatever independent newspaper, and he gets these assignments and he goes off and he investigates all these things from a paranormal angle. The episode I think I watched, it was about Jack the Ripper, and his theory was that Jack the Ripper never really died. He's been living forever. And he's been, you know, going around and killing all these people. And
what's the time period of the show?
I think it's in the 70s, late 70s.
So when it was out, and that's when it came out.
Yeah,
so it was contemporary for its time.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you said he works for a newspaper. You said,
yeah, he's a reporter.
Okay, so he's not a law enforcement entity at all. Okay.
He just found the beat, looking for stories.
Yeah. And so one of the episodes that you watched, it's like that Jack the Ripper was basically like this supernatural entity that essentially has existed throughout the age, or through the centuries at least.
Yeah.
Okay, and that he's still around, like even in, where does it take place? Is it L.A. or Chicago, not sure.
You know, I'm actually not sure.
What town it takes place in?
It's been too long.
I'll look it up really quick. But go ahead and keep talking about the show, and I'll look it up.
Well, in a couple of ways, in that I think it's kind of the spiritual predecessor to the X-Files. First and foremost, Chris Carter, I guess, periodically has come out and said that, you know, it was a huge inspiration to him.
Chicago.
Chicago
is where it takes place.
That makes sense. Okay. He said that... That Kolchak was a huge inspiration to him, and something that I noticed in just watching the first episode the other day, and I don't know if this is true with all the episodes because I wasn't going to dedicate that much time to investigating this theory.
Well, shit, man.
But it, at least
you mean you didn't prepare like night and day for this podcast.
But at least for the first episode, it seems to hold true in that at the very end of the episode, Kolchak is doing his internal dialogue as he's typing up his report.
So kind of just like Scully
exactly
does.
Exactly like
first,
Scully
like,
does.
Season or whatever.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well,
okay.
I can neither confirm nor deny Agent Mulder's, you know.
His
this might
his
be some bullshit, but
exactly.
Who knows?
Okay.
I can neither quantify nor substantiate.
So how does the show stack up? I mean, like, is it still, did you enjoy watching it? I mean, was it kind of, does it show its age?
It shows its age pretty well, but then again, I think the X-Files, the original series, is starting to show its age.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought that.
I agree, like, on the
too.
Early, like, the first season. Because when I went back and tried to start to watch them again, the first season was a little rough. And I'll get into kind of one of my... We're going to do some top fives here. And one of my top fives kind of has to do with that a little bit. But I think, really, after the... Maybe the second season, from season three on, I really think it still kind of holds up pretty well.
There's certain aspects of it, though, where it's like... I had to go find this guy and go talk to him. And like, nowadays, man, like, you could just pick up your cell phone and just give him a ring.
Well, sure, sure.
You know, but I mean...
But is it showing its age as in, like, it's not a, you know, like, it comes off as hokey or, you know, something like that? Or
I don't think it's coming off as hokey. I think it's the general trap of sci-fi shows in that you're supposed to be portraying something that is... kind of outside the realm of possibility, and as time progresses outside of that, a lot more things become possible. So I think sci-fi shows, more than other shows, tend to show their age.
Well, I mean, I would agree with stuff like Star Trek and stuff, but I don't know that the X-Files necessarily, other than, you know...
You know, they'll have like an episode like we're like, oh, the VCR is doing something, and you're like, yeah, we don't really use VCRs anymore, you know?
No, fair enough. Okay, so...
But it's not like the whole show's like that, you know?
No,
it's just like maybe just a certain episode sometimes.
It's just starting to show a little bit of thing
on it. Yeah, you know, they'll whip out their cell phone, and you're like, whoa, like they got a huge brick next to their head, that type of thing. Or pager.
That's normal.
So, yeah, there's a couple of things that make Kolchak kind of interesting in that regard, but, I mean, those are the things that popped out to me.
How long did it run?
Kolchak, I think it was like two seasons. I don't think it was very long.
Was it on like a main network? I mean, I guess it had to be.
It
was on 70s.
It was network TV.
I could see why. Okay. So it sounds kind of like... Not Constantine, because like he's way more into that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But outside perspective. Like you said, he's just a reporter.
Yeah, he's just a reporter who's kind
of... Does he believe in this shit?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly. Okay.
That's kind of the point.
He's the believer.
Okay.
And nobody
okay.
else is believing him. I mean, he's sitting there challenging the chief of police on crap and just...
They're just like, whatever.
They're like, you're crazy. Get out of
here.
So...
Okay.
It's a good show. It just, like you said, does it hold up? Yeah, it does hold up, but it still shows its age. So it's like going back and watching like an episode of probably The Twilight Zone, which I haven't really ever watched that much of.
But I don't know, man. I think that, and I mean, again, it's hard to say anything absolute, but there's some episodes of The Twilight Zone that I think hold up just fine today. There's a shitload that don't, but I think there's a lot that are like really still... The Twilight Zone is unique, in my opinion, in that The Twilight Zone had a lot of... The Twilight Zone was so out there for its time that some of the episodes you watch of The Twilight Zone are so... The chances they take, like, thematically, I think, are really unique. Like, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's about a guy that he's being hung, like, in the Old West. And the whole episode is about his life flashing before his eyes and the moment that the door drops and he dies. But it's him escaping and getting away. But you don't know until the very end that he's just actually, he's died. And it's, I thought that, and but you, when you watch something like that, came out in like the, you know, the 60s, and I'm like, that's such a unique way to make a story. And it was just, you know, that was one episode, but I think that you could watch that episode today and it's just as meaningful as it was, you know, 40 years ago. But
there's
anyways.
Probably some that are the same way that are like you were talking about with, you know, being a little outdated.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of
yeah,
shows.
It's, we're not talking about like the main elements of storytelling. I mean, the fundamentals are still going to be there. It's just going to be whether or not the watchability is there. I mean, it's kind of like old movies. I mean, there's some old movies that are always going to be watchable because they're classics and they're just good. You know,
sure. That's why they stay classics.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with when it was filmed. It's just the quality is there. But other movies around the same time period might not be as good. And so the time period is relevant in whether or not you actually want to watch it.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So what else were we going to talk about? Maybe some shows that kind of more contemporary shows that sort of parallel. Unless you got anything more to say about Kolchak or
no,
Twilight
I
Zone.
Mean, no.
I mean, you've also got The Outer Limits out there, too. And, you know, I mean, those are kind of
similar.
They're similar, yeah. But they're really, those weren't really procedural, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think a show that I've never been a big fan of it. I could never get into it like I know you are, and I know you're a fan too, Brad. It's still going, I think, is Supernatural.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's still going, man.
And it's on, like, what was it, like season 10 plus or something?
I think it's on the 11th season right
which,
now.
So, hey, I mean, as much as I can't, I haven't been able to get into it, and someday I'll give it another shot. I mean, you can't argue with the success. I mean, hell.
I'm a huge fan of it. I'm a huge fan of it, despite the fact that it's on CW or...
It's on CW.
What is that the name
of
that?
Yeah,
That network's gone through a couple different iterations of its name.
Was that the WB as well?
WB.
Was CW the WB?
It was the WB, yeah.
Okay.
Out of Chicago.
Yeah, but so despite that, I think that's an amazing show.
We'll talk to you guys. I don't know much about it, so you guys
I only watched till... like middle of season 5.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and a lot of people are like, season 5 is where it's at, and the end of that, it's amazing, and like they could have ended the show right there.
Yeah,
at season 5.
I'm assuming this is when I think that's when Dean. Well, hold on. Sorry. Spoiler alert. This is when Sam goes to hell.
Okay.
Is that?
I think so. I don't honestly remember, but
yeah, that.
Not that I didn't like it, but it was just. You know, something else caught my attention, and it was that easy to just never watch it again. And I never did. I think season 5 was already out by then. I was watching it on, like, Netflix or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I liked it. I mean, it has a lot of, you know, that's why we're bringing it up. It has a lot of X-Files feel.
Oh.
Even though it's totally, you know, sometimes the subject's completely different because they're way into, like, demons and things like that.
Well, there's a huge reason why there's a lot of X-Files parallel. It's because Kim Manners... one of the directors and producers from the X-Files, is also one of the main guys behind Supernatural until he died. I mean, he had a huge hand in that.
Yeah.
So,
well, you can tell it's like, you know, like you're saying, procedural. Like, that's what I like about a lot of the X-Files. And, like, if you're not even into that sort of thing, like, I think that's why you could get into the show where it's kind of like it's just a cop show. They're going around trying to... interview people. What was your take on this? Well, we go to somebody else, get their interview. They're detectives, you know, and sometimes some crazy shit gets thrown in between then and there, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just kind of like freak of the week, and while they were doing just a normal case, some shit came out of nowhere, and they're like, what was that? Oh, it was the Mothman, or what, you know, some weird... character, basically. Yeah,
and just because of the interchangeability of this, I got lost for a second. Are you you're talking about the X-Files now, right?
Both, really.
Yeah, because they both fit that,
yeah, it's the
that
same
mold
thing,
because
that's what Dean and what's his brother's
Sam.
Name?
Sam,
that's what they do. Like, they go and, like, they're just normal guys. They're not even in the FBI.
No.
But they're like, hey, we know this is going on.
But they play one on TV.
Yeah. But then, you know, they go around and they're like, something, you know, this... is coming up, or we're looking for that, and they go, they hunt. They're hunters. That's what they call themselves, right?
Yeah,
they hunt it down
themselves,
literally. So,
but yeah, they Supernatural, I think, took a lot of the staples, like you were talking about, from the X-Files, and they used it in formulating their shows diagram, I guess.
I never really thought about how they were related until I brought that one episode up a couple podcasts ago, and it was like...
Bugs?
Yeah, the bugs, and they're in Oklahoma, but I'm like...
And you thought it was an X-Files episode.
I was thinking it was an X-Files
episode. But it's actually Supernatural.
Supernatural, yes.
Okay. That's actually, I think, that is a... I'm pretty sure that's a Kim Manners episode, too.
Okay, yeah.
Which no, is funny. Kim Manners, I'm not familiar with who this... I've seen the name on the X-Files. Is this a... Was it he or she?
He
was what, a producer or
he, producer and director, I think.
Okay.
He was a director at least for the X-Files, producer and director for Supernatural.
And he passed away, I guess, during Supernatural's run at some point.
Yeah, like maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
Okay. And
no wonder.
And I'm sure, you know, in time you'll look back at Supernatural, but I've always kind of, you know, and maybe see the same thing, but I've always kind of noticed it's funny to look back at watching the X-Files again and seeing like all these people that are famous now, like who you were like, oh man, they were in an X-Files episode back in the early 90s, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds, Jack Black, Giovanni Ribisi, in the same episode, no less, all kinds of other people too, or people that, you know, like Vince Gilligan,
he wrote quite a few episodes.
Yeah, he wrote quite a few, you know. Breaking Bad's his big thing, and you know, other stuff now. I mean, he got... I don't know if that's where he got his start, but, I mean, you could certainly, I think, say that he cut his teeth on the X-Files. And, you know, I just think it's interesting to look back and see some of the people that have... what's her... I can't remember the actress's name. Andrea from Walking Dead. She's... Was it Renee Cavarubias on X-Files?
Her name,
the senator's aide or whatever?
Yeah. Who had, like, that weird connection with Krycek or whatever.
Yeah. And she... I don't know. Obviously, I don't think that's where she got her start. But, you know, it was before everybody knew her as Andrea from The Walking Dead. She was on a good... maybe a season or so of The X-Files as a fairly major character.
Well, you get a lot of that good actor overlap from anybody that's shooting up in Canada.
Yeah.
That's Vancouver, something I was going to bring up. Like, that, they kind of took off from there. Like, that... Whatever... Is it as one studio? But, like, there was a lot of shows that... based out of there.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Money, shows that taxes I got into, or whatever, like, you know.
Stargate SG-1, I think, was the same thing. I ended up getting to Smallville.
You can always track down the shows that do shoot in Vancouver just by the extras they'll use. Like, oh, I remember that guy from Psych. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know, I mean, that's easy
they make
to
some great stuff.
Yeah.
X-Files being one of them, and a lot of long... Well, I mean, look at, like, X-Files and Stargate. Those are, the two longest-running sci-fi.
Well, hell, you gotta say Supernatural.
Supernatural.
It's run longer than the X-Files did.
And I'm not 100% sure of this. I'm really talking out of my ass now, but I would guess...
That's what we do here, man.
Perfect. Let's say. Made it to the right place. I would guess that the fact that it's probably a lot cheaper for them to shoot up in Vancouver.
Yeah. I think it's taxes.
Versus shooting in the U.S. probably helps extend their runs of the series up there because they're able to save money in some area or whatever.
Sure. I think Vancouver, I think they've made it a point to make it a very hospitable place to come film. I think they've kind of realized that, man, we've got a piece of the market here. Let's hold on to it. So... Yeah.
Well, plus it's Canada. Everybody's nice up there anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Talking about, you know, these different shows that may have, you know, some sort of influence or the X-Files had an influence on, I'm curious to hear, what do you think about how much, if any, do you think Twin Peaks influenced X-Files? Because it was kind of one... Twin Peaks was like, what, 91 to 92, I think?
Yeah, I think
90 to 92.
Right. Something like
that. And the X-Files was right after that.
93.
And you have not necessarily... You have some similarities. You have FBI agent as a central character. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of weird paranormal shit going on.
And David Duchovny's in both series.
He's in Dragon 1, but yeah. And David Duchovny's in it.
Yeah.
You kind of have this sort of... Because I think the X-Files could say that there are some... He never did. Man, that would have been cool if David Lynch would have ever directed an X-Files
episode.
That
thing would have gone off the rails so fast.
But that's what I like about David Lynch, though, is that it's going to go off the rails. It's going to be fucking weird. You're going to be sitting there going, like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when you talk about Twin Peaks, that's kind of... Who's the guy?
Show.
Was it Frost? The other guy that was working with him.
Mark Frost.
Mark Frost. He kind of... Almost like he reined in, you know, David Lynch enough to put him on network TV. Because if you would have told me back then, like, you know, after watching stuff like Eraserhead and Blue Velvet, like, hey, you know that guy who did all that? He's going to make a TV show for network TV. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way. But a guy like, you know, Mark Frost, I think, might have been able to, you know, rein them in. And even still, it's weird as fuck, dude, watching.
And they're kind of doing the same thing. Like, they're making.
Yeah, they're supposedly coming back in 2000. Like, now, I heard David Lynch has gone away from the project, but I watched a video where a whole bunch of the people involved in it, you know, Kyle MacLachlan, you know, Cheryl Lee and all these other people, like, made a video trying to get him to, like, come back to work on the show.
How is Cheryl Lee going to even be involved? I mean, every single character that she has played in any of those has been killed off. She played Laura Palmer.
Writer
dead.
In,
well, hey, she played her cousin. Dead.
But hey. All I got to say is, man, don't forget the Shadow Lodge, baby. Don't forget the Shadow Lodge.
That's true.
Laura Palmer's still there, man. So...
That's true.
That's where you can go with it. But yeah, so I think, and, you know... So do you think it had much influence or...
It just happened to be similar and at the same time.
Have you watched the Twin Peaks?
Yes, okay. I have.
I don't think that it had any influence that would be measurable on the X-Files. I think that... The timing of it is such that...
Do you think it had anything to do with it getting approved? Like...
The culture itself?
Well, the Twin Peaks worked. And maybe this X-Files idea... I don't know how long the X-Files idea had been floating around. Like, how long was Chris Carter trying to sell it before it got bought? And maybe on the back of the success of Twin Peaks, maybe somebody said... Because
you gotta think Fox was kind of a new...
A new network.
New thing around then.
Yeah.
And that... Kind of took off with it.
I mean,
you're just guessing.
If I'm looking into my crystal ball, I don't think that it would have had anything to do with it measurably. I think Chris Carter had probably been developing it the X-Files idea for at least a couple of years. I think that Twin Peaks kind of stands on its own because David Lynch is, you know, David Lynch, and he had his own set of sphere of influence and, you know, kind of following at that point. He was already an established entity to a certain extent.
Sure. No, he was.
Because you gotta think he had done Dune, Blue Velvet.
Eraserhead was...
I don't know that Eraserhead really
Eraserhead was a... Well, no, Eraserhead was kind of like one of the... It was an indie hit. Eraserhead was one of those... Eraserhead from... And I watched some stuff with David Lynch talking about... On the back of Eraserhead and Dune is what got him offered. He was off, like, George Lucas brought him in to direct, possibly, Return of the Jedi. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea about that.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome to see a David Lynch version of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it would have been like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But I think it could have been great. But yeah.
Well, I liked Dune, you know? I have some problems with it.
I've never been able to finish Dune. I always fall asleep.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about that movie.
It was kind of one of those, like, 80s movies that I didn't watch for the longest time, and I went back, and for some reason,
I think the biggest problem with Dune...
I need to try and watch it again.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Dune... We're getting way off the rails of what you're...
That's all right.
With Dune was that stupid, like, those body shields that they did. They looked horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have come
was
up
Was it
with,
an effect or something?
Yeah, yeah, okay. That effect that they used like, for their little... energy
steel
based.
Suit or whatever.
It's not the steel suit.
It's like Tron type of
bullshit.
It looked
exactly like Tron, and it looked horrible. And that's what doesn't hold up at all, because
luckily it's not in the movie too much, but it's like,
and hey, at least David Lynch doesn't go back and do like a special edition where, you know, he adds, you know, Jabba the Hutt in some big scene. At least he just says fuck it and leaves it how it is. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those, it's like warts and all, are you gonna love it? And I need to try and watch it again. But
I mean, they remade it with a miniseries, but
I actually heard that was pretty good. I don't know much. It was like Children of Dune, is that what it was called?
Well, no, they did Dune and they did Children of Dune.
They did both.
Oh, okay.
They like actually, because
that was on Sci-Fi,
the movie
right?
Changes the actual book quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Did the series follow the book more closely?
Follow the book real closely.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was
I'd say too much, but it was entertaining. You know?
My biggest gripe with it was the guy that played Paul. I thought he was
the main character.
Played it a little whiny. Yeah. That was my biggest gripe.
Yeah.
But you like Kyle MacLachlan as Paul.
I liked Kyle MacLachlan's Paul better. Yeah.
Now, who wrote that? Was that wasn't Heinlein?
Herbert.
Okay, Frank Herbert. Heinlein's Starship Troopers, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Which I wish they would remake that movie and hem close to the book, because I'm not a big fan of the movie Starship Troopers. It's not the book at all.
It kind of has to be a short if they're going to remake it. The book's like what, 70 pages?
Yeah, no, it's longer than that. It's longer than 70 pages. It's like a 200 page book.
What, Starship Troopers?
It's like tiny.
It's a little bigger, but there's not much to it. Like, I mean, well, even just
the main character
is bigger. The story, like
the main character in the book, is the suit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean that's really
cool. Like, there's not much. Like, you know?
That's really cool. I mean, it's about a kind of a, you know, sort of a brief kind of snapshot of this war between mankind and these aliens, and the main sort of vehicle that mankind uses to like stay relevant in this war is this suit.
Like I said, brief, and John, you know, shot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think yeah. I think it would be. That's the movie I'd want to see. But hey, that's
I'm
just
weird.
Me.
I like the Starship Troopers.
I kind of. Well, I don't think you're weird. I think
Bug's a dead bug.
I think most people do enjoy the movie. It's a piece of satire. They took the movie and made it satire. And from what I understand, I think it was Paul Verhoeven who directed it. When he went to the studio basically told him, "You have this much money," and he said, "Okay, this is enough money to do the suit or do the bugs." And they were like, "Do the bugs." And he was like, "Cool." And so based on that is how he decided to shoot the movie the way that he did, because they weren't gonna, because the suit's not even in the movie.
And he probably spent like $50,000 on Casper Van Dien or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he got him at a discount back then. I'm sure he's still at a discount.
He's in the third movie, if anybody watched that.
I would say they made sequels, but
I think
whatever.
Well, he probably paid a premium on Denise Richards. Oof, worst idea ever.
I don't know. She wasn't very famous at the time, I don't think. That was like her first big movie.
Was it?
Yeah. I think the most famous person in that movie was Michael Ironside.
That was around Wild Things.
I was going to say, that was around Wild Things.
I think it was before Wild Things.
What else was she in?
Exactly. That's what I mean. She was in that Bond movie. She was Christmas.
She wasn't in
the
X-Files show.
She was, who was she on James Bond? She was Christmas, what did we say? Christmas Who Gives a Fuck. That's who she was. So, I mean, you know, nothing against her, but... Like what? Look at like find out whenever that movie was. I'm pretty sure Starship Troopers was before
96? Starship Troopers 97. Wild Things was 98, and The World's Not Enough is 99.
There you go. She had a good three-year run.
Yeah,
and what's she been in since? All right, so moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, so we've talked about all that stuff. Now let's kind of get into the X-Files itself. Like, you start out, man. Why are you such a big fan of the X-Files? That's a terrible answer.
I don't know. No. The thing about the X-Files that I think I like from a perspective of just, you know, enjoying watching it or whatnot, is that the problem I'm going to have here is not stepping on my opinion as to how I think the new one's going to do, because I think this is the juxtaposition we're going to run into. But I like... basically, Mulder. I mean, at the end of the day, Mulder makes it...
He's a great character.
He makes it an enjoyable series, because he's... Nobody believes anything coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He's just this... that lines up with Kolchak, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's just this kook that is sitting in the basement doing weird shit. And everybody thinks he's a weirdo, but he's getting good results. So, you know, we're not going to mess with him too much.
Do you relate with him, or is it just like it's entertaining?
No, it's entertaining.
Okay.
It's entertaining.
I kind of relate with Mulder, because like we did a podcast where like we talked about UFO sightings in Oklahoma here. And I'm the type of guy who is like, well, actually, the, you know, most UFO sightings, you know, don't actually involve little green men. It's usually humanoids, or most UFO sightings are around. That's Mulder.
Yeah.
They bring up some weird stuff, and he's like, well, actually, you know...
Reticulans are gray.
Yeah. He would know that. He starts explaining this type of stuff, and everybody in the room just kind of like looks like,
what?
Yeah. Okay. You know, we don't even believe it in the first place, but he like knows like the inner culture of like what's actually going on with this weird stuff.
Yeah.
Mulder is like a charismatic underdog.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think one of the big things that sells the series. And I think Scully, this is me personally, I always thought Scully was a good
counterweight.
Yeah, a good counterweight for him. She's the skeptic, but she's not a shithead about it.
No.
Yeah.
You can actually tell she's actually
using the scientific method.
Exactly. Yeah. She's a scientist first, and then over time, as she starts to experience more and more things that she has trouble explaining. I mean, you got to think, though, even still, it goes pretty late where she's kind of like, okay, Mulder, but you could easily explain this way, or it could be from this or that.
I think they were kind of hoisted by their own petard there, and that they were using her as a platform to overcome the skepticism. You know, she was a gentle skeptic so that he could then come up with ways to overcome that skepticism and prove that, oh, there is all this crazy shit going on. But then they kind of got locked into using her that way, as the series went on, instead of transitioning her early. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they have really good chemistry together too anyway. Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny. It's really good chemistry. I think it has a lot of good like secondary characters. Like Skinner. Always love Skinner.
Yeah, Skinner's awesome.
I
didn't think so. Like the first, like just when it was on and watching the show, just like as it was airing.
Yeah.
Like, rewatching it, I'm like,
yeah, AD Skinner. AD Skinner, man. Dude, he's a bad,
he's kind of a badass too, but
yeah.
He's not in the show a lot, so I'm like, it's kind of nice.
His role increases as it goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, obviously, you know, you have like Deep Throat was really good. You know, he's a season one character.
Lone Gunman.
The Lone Gunman, X. I'm a huge fan
of
X.
Yeah, X was great.
Who was kind of like a Deep Throat character, but he was sort of... Which I'll get into in one of the... Like, when we do our top fives, I got some stuff to say about X.
Well, and as far as villains that are I mean,
great
cigarette
villains.
Smoking man.
Yep.
Oh, smoking my God.
Yeah.
Krycek.
Krycek is...
Krycek was a good villain, I thought. And I thought even so... Even though, like, you know...
Not my favorite, but...
I always liked Krycek because Krycek was always, like, the ultimate... Krycek was the ultimate survivor.
Yeah, he was.
And that's why I liked him, is that Krycek wasn't necessarily evil, and neither was the cigarette-smoking man. He wasn't necessarily evil. Like, you know, just totally
could
like...
be evil.
He could do some shit where you're like, man, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
But if you sat him down, he would have, this is why, this is my method. And it's all that one... There's an episode, Musings of a Cigarette-Smoking Man, where he kind of explains why he does the things that he does. And the world is very black and white to him. It's very, these things must happen for these things to continue. And somebody's not, and if nobody's willing to do it, I'm the guy that'll do it. I'm willing to put my chips on the table and say, I'll do it. To quote another, I'll do it. The chicken farm episode or whatever, the chicken, was it Chaco's Chicken or
Chaco's
Chicken?
Chicken?
What was that? I can't remember that. But that was a great episode.
Yeah.
Was it with the...
I'll think of it here in a second.
Yeah, but anyway, so... yeah, so just... Those characters, having all those secondary characters, and I mean, there's even more that, you know, I'm forgetting here. Mulder's dad was a good... I mean, his mother...
But
Scully's sister.
There's kind of like a rich guy who's in that secret society.
Yeah,
the senator.
Yeah, he's cool.
Well, no, there's like a... What was he? The British guy.
He was Baron Munchausen.
Yeah, he was not the well-articulated man. It's like the well-manicured man, I think.
Well-dressed man.
No, I think it's well-manicured.
Is it?
I think it's well-manicured man.
You'd be right. I also like the... Is it?
Okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, but no, I mean, there's so many good characters in that show. I thought the writing was overall, it was consistently good. Don't get me wrong, there's bad episodes of every series that you watch.
Sure.
And I think The X-Files is no different. There's some episodes that I'm just like, oh my God, these are just terrible. They're a struggle to get through. But I think consistently, though, The X-Files consistency was strong.
And I don't know if you know Steve, but like, was there a show before X-Files where it's like, you know, we do
a monster of the week
type of thing, like where like that there's that formula where they've got the myth, they've got the plot and the storyline, and you've got filler episodes, but like they had
Kolchak definitely did. I mean, that is what Kolchak was. And I think it was only a season.
It's
monsters
of the week.
It's just monsters of the week. That's it. And I think that's something that carried over from like the Twilight Zone. Probably, I mean, that's really what the Twilight Zone was.
Yeah, Twilight Zone and Outer Limits. You'd have Monster of the Week.
I think it was the first.
Like it ties it all together.
Yeah,
like,
it was the first series to kind of interweave them that I'm aware of that did really well.
Because nowadays, like you watch like a superhero show that somewhere on like the CW, and that's the plot line.
Well,
like they have the mythos of the superhero, and then they also have like, oh, where there's that kind of freak or villain of the week type of thing, and they do the same thing. They interweave it, and that's like your kind of filler episodes. Maybe there's a little plot mixed in there.
I say that, but then, you know, it makes me go back and think about things like original Star Trek. I mean, I don't know how... I was never a big fan of it, so I didn't watch it very much, but...
You know what? Star Trek, as far as... And we're going to do a Star Trek episode someday. In my opinion, you never... See, here's the thing where The X-Files separated itself from a lot of these shows. It had a, like you're saying, a storyline, a main-themed storyline that ran from the first episode all the way to the last episode. And in between, you had different jaunts on that road that were Freak of the Week episodes. But you had a concurrent, you know, long-spanning main storyline. The original Star Trek didn't have that. Star Trek The Next Generation didn't really have that. You could say the Borg storyline, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. But the one that really did it first was Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine, from the first episode all the way to the last episode, had a main storyline, and then in between those main storyline, you know, signposts
the
were
random,
were, you know, yeah, yeah, a random Star Trek episode of the week.
Didn't Deep Space Nine come out after X-Files started?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Deep Space Nine, I think, was like, well,
that's around the same time.
Yeah, it's around the same time. 93? Yeah, I mean, really? It's fairly close. And
so maybe neither of them have that claim to fame.
Let's see. Yeah. Deep Space Nine.
It just wasn't around a lot before.
No,
that.
it was the format was fairly unique. It was not
93 to 99.
Especially when like some of these, like, you're trying to fill a season of 22 to 24 episodes, like you got to have some something else, you know.
Yeah, you got to think they're both 1993. They both came out in 1993. Yeah. So that's something that they have in common there. And now granted, there's, you know, there are different types of main storylines, but you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so as far as, like, I know for me, the X-Files is near and dear. I mean,
that's who I was thinking of. Another one of the kind of side characters I liked, I can't remember his name, but he was the kind of the leader guy of the Men in Black, but he played a kind of a funny character. He was in, like, Dreamland, whatever, where he ended up switching bodies with Mulder.
But he wasn't in much of the series other than that, was he? I don't think he was.
Is that
you're talking
all he
about,
was in?
Yeah, you're talking about what's his face?
Yeah,
from
Saturday Night Live or whatever.
Well, from This Is Spinal Tap and
yeah.
Christopher Guest, I think is his name.
No, that's not Christopher Guest.
Or he's part of that troop.
He's part of that troop, but that's not Christopher Guest.
What's his name? That's going to bother me.
Wasn't he in Coneheads?
I'm sure he probably was. Which, by the way, John Neville.
Was he the main lead singer in Spinal Tap?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I don't. Yeah, he wasn't Coneheads. He was the immigration.
Yeah. David Spade's boss.
Yeah. he's actually in a...
Michael something. His name's Michael something.
I can't remember his name. He's in Clue, if you're ever...
Michael McKean.
That.
Michael McKean. Okay. Yeah. Morris Fletcher was
Better
his character.
Better Call Saul. He's
Which, guy. Yeah, he's...
Was he just in, like, chapter... Or episode... season 6 and 7?
I mean,
I
can look, but...
He was
I
could have
sworn...
Lot.
I thought he was in some earlier episodes, but... It's been a while since I've watched, so.
But John Neville was the well-manicured man, Baron Munchausen.
Okay.
I'll
look that up. I'll look really quick on this guy, but I think he was only in that two-parter, that Dreamland,
really?
I think. But, you know, I could be wrong here.
Wasn't he also in the one where Scully went to that?
No, you're right. Okay, He was in four episodes. He was in Dreamland Part 1 and 2. He was in Three of a Kind, which is... We'll get to that one, because I know that's... and then Jump the Shark, Season 9.
Yeah.
Episode 15, which I don't think I've seen. I haven't seen much of Season 9. I could not...
It wasn't as good.
Yeah, I just... Well, let's talk about that. I mean, okay, so the X-Files did not, in my opinion, did not end well.
No.
I actually don't know, because it's the same way. Like, I've watched... A lot of it, and I get the right when Mulder leaves the show, basically.
Yeah, basically,
like,
season 8, Mulder...
My attention.
For almost all of season 8 and all of season 9, Mulder's not there.
I'd like to watch it.
Yeah.
So, David Duchovny, the biggest part of the show, in my opinion... Now, don't get me wrong, it would hurt. It would suck if Scully would have left, but I think it's harder to replace Mulder. Because Mulder was the main engine.
Yeah.
And
he was the X-Files.
Yeah. And
Scully got attached to him.
Yeah, and yeah. Scully's a great character. I think she helps the show big time, but... If you had to tell me we have to get rid of one of them, I'd be like, well, I hate to see her go, but get rid of Scully then. So
you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Exactly. and I think, and that's just how the show's written. That's nothing on Gillian Anderson. It's
right.
Just that's the show was
it was
created
put on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything is kind of tied to him. But anyway, like, he's not there for much of season 8 and much of season 9. He's not even on the show. They brought in the T-1000.
Like, did like one episode in each
That's
season.
What I was telling
yeah.
you on the web.
He's at
like,
the very
yeah,
ends of them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they brought in the T-1000.
Basically.
They bring in Robert Patrick. He's Agent Doggett. He's got Agent Reyes with him.
And I can't remember her
name. I can't remember the actress's name. And it's just totally different. It's not... it's not the same. And there's some episodes that I like. There's an episode, I don't know if it's season 8 or 9, where Doggett just wakes up in Mexico,
which is arguably one of the best episodes in those runs. I think
I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah,
but it's not. It doesn't feel like an X-Files episode. It just feels like a one-off action, like, you know, kind of show.
Yeah.
Like he's.
It could
he's
have
just,
been any show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, this, you know, and Agent Doggett was a totally different character than Mulder. Agent Doggett's like, you know, just a badass. Mulder was not never a badass.
Yeah, he's like,
Mulder's just very smart.
Yeah, Doggett was like Skinner's little brother or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the character was like, you know, former special forces. Like, he took the military path into the FBI, whereas Mulder took the academic path into the FBI. And so they're just totally different kind of characters.
Oh, man. I'm all of a sudden remembering now that he had this weird relationship with Baldwin.
Who did?
Doggett?
Yeah. What's his face? Baldwin. Jane from Firefly.
Oh, Adam?
Adam Baldwin. Wasn't Adam Baldwin in the X-Files later on?
I didn't know that.
He was like his contact.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so. I better check that out for him.
Who cares?
I'm getting like... shows fucking mixed up or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that he was his contact there, and Adam Baldwin did some stuff in the X-Files, so that was also another good side character. So.
Yeah.
So what would you say your favorite 5 episodes are?
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if I'm gonna go down a list, and which I have one right here in front of me.
Do it.
Okay, so I'm gonna say, and I'm gonna do a little cheating here, but I don't care, it's our podcast. I'm going to put it number 5, and I'll explain why. I mean, I think it's a good episode anyway, but I think it's... For me, it's a really important episode, and that's Darkness Falls. And the reason I put it at number 5, I put it so high, is because when I went back and tried to watch The X-Files, I don't know about you guys, but Season 1 drags. It starts off pretty strong, and then it just drags. And Darkness Falls is towards the end of Season 1, and in my opinion, that's where, like, the show for me... jumps back into high gear, where I'm like, okay, I I'm not saying they lost their way in season one. It's just there's a lot of just really
they're just doing what they do.
There's just a lot of dry episodes in season
it's like,
one
hey,
for me.
We've got this monster. We look it up.
They're getting their
shit out. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. They're still finding their legs, and yeah. I think Darkness Falls is where they really find it. And I just think it's a great episode anyway. So that's Adam Baldwin. He was Noel Rohrer.
Rohrer. 5 episodes.
5 episodes. Well, there you go. So anyway, Darkness Falls, number 5 for me. It's a great episode. You got, you know, they're up in the Pacific Northwest somewhere. There's a missing, you know, group of loggers. You've got this bioterrorist kind of, you know, put into the mix there. And there's this whole, like, you know, when the sun goes down, the bugs come out. And I don't want to ruin any of these episodes for anybody who hasn't watched them yet. I just thought it was a really cool episode. Granted, I understand why people may not like it, but like I said,
why do you think it's cool? Because like I was talking with about
well, because
it's just kind of a monster.
Well,
thing.
But it's like a survive the night sort of thing. I thought that was kind of a cool dynamic. There's like this, we've got to survive the night, and I don't.
There's a little bit of like kind of this this impending doom of keeping that generator running.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I get that.
And there's a lot of character conflict between. You know, Mulder and Scully, the logger, the bioterrorist, they have them all there, or the sheriff.
They did a good job of mounting tension in that episode.
Yeah, and they're at each other's throats because, you know, the sheriff, you know, hates this logger guy. The sheriff hates the bioterrorist guy. You know, the bioterrorist hates the sheriff and the loggers because they're cutting down all these trees, and he has a bit of a point because... maybe they cut down some trees that they shouldn't have cut down because there's some weird shit that was laying dormant in them. And here you have this whole... And again, you know, it may be a Freak of the Week thing or Monster of the Week, but I don't... I mean, that's most of
even
the X-Files
episodes.
Even
though it's a Freak of the Week one, it's kind of one that's like, you know, some shit's actually happening. It's not like, you know, I don't know. We didn't actually find any evidence of the, you know... Or it slithered away and it was never actually seen. No, we've like...
Yeah, hell, there's like a whole government response, you know, to that whole thing at, you know, towards the end or at the end of it. But so anyway, my number 5 is Darkness Falls. For me, it's where the X-Files really, like you said, that's where it finds its legs for good. And again, there's some good episodes before it. I just, for me in particular, every time I think of the X-Files, I'm always thinking of that episode for some reason. I don't know what it is. I just really like it. Anyway, so that's number 5 for me. Number 4, this is a two-parter mythology, and that's Nisei and 731. It's the one where it starts out where Mulder has like bought that alien autopsy tape, and he's like watching it, and then he goes to like look. He finds out like where it was filmed, or who sent it, like from some place in Pennsylvania, and he goes out there and like, you know, it kind of kicks off this whole, you know, international sort of, you know, incident, because you have this Japanese guy with diplomatic clearance
who beats up Mulder.
Who beats up Mulder. The lone gunmen are in it. You have a lot of like kind of play between like what's hoax, what's a red herring, what's not. And then as you transition from Nisei into 731, the second part of it, you have like that NSA assassin that's like, you know, after, you know, basically trying to stop Mulder. You have that train with the bomb, and there may be another autopsy going on. X is up in it.
Skinner has his first fist fight.
Yep, Skinner's in the mix. Yeah, and also at the same time, you have Scully tracking the implant. That's where she starts to learn more about the implant she has, and I think that stuff's interesting. And then X is a big part of that, too. X is kind of like the I gotta fix everything kind of guy at that point. And that's another thing I want to talk about, why I like X so much. I like Deep Throat a lot, but here's why I liked X better. X was like the reluctant Deep Throat. Deep Throat wanted to help Mulder. X is only helping Mulder because of Deep Throat. Because he was like, I got the impression he was like Deep Throat's protege. And he's kind of like, because he always basically gives Mulder shit when he's having to help him. He's just like, you know, I won't do this for you again or something. You know, he's like, you know, you're putting me in a bad position here. He's not like the same sort of gentle sort of, like Deep Throat was very, you know, almost fatherly to him in a kind of a way.
On a side note, one of my favorite side characters on Supernatural was actually played X on X-Files, Rufus.
Okay, yeah, I kind of remember him. I didn't think about
really.
Yeah.
Who's the actor? I'd give that guy some.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Yeah, like he's awesome in X Files. Yeah. Just the looks he gives.
I like that actor.
Oh, he has some of the best delivery, and you know, lines to go with it. Obviously, in the Supernatural, but it was. Yeah, he's one of my favorite side characters.
So, yeah, and I do. Like I said, I just love him as X, dude. X was such a great character, in my opinion.
And these are inside people that are like.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sort of.
The lowdown from the government. And
that's just what I'm saying. You never know.
And Mulder goes around and, like,
And he's kind of part of the whole, like, you know, Mulder's trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is bullshit.
What's the truth?
Steven Williams. Okay. That's who plays X. And I always, always, always loved X. Any episode with X, I'm probably going to like, just because I like X so much. okay, so that's number four. I, you know, kind of cheat a little bit with a two-parter. Nisei 731. Number three, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. Love that episode.
That is a pretty good one.
And that's Peter Boyle. Played, you know, Raymond's dad on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Passed away not too many years ago. Mm-hmm. Believe he won an Emmy for that X-Files episode. Pretty sure he did.
Yeah,
I think he did.
It's just a really good episode.
He plays a psychic who is essentially helping Mulder and Scully track down a serial killer.
He, like, sees people's death.
Yeah.
I think.
He can see how people are going to die. Okay. And even after the fact, he can kind of glean clues from a crime scene. So... really, and it's a funny episode. It's poignant and lighthearted all at the same time. It's kind of sad.
It kind of gets Scully on board there a little bit.
Yes, he really makes Scully question a lot of things.
Like, holy shit!
Well, the interesting tidbit is it's the first episode that introduces the idea that Scully's immortal.
Yes. Because
he
tells Mulder, like, because he's like, Mulder, how's Mulder going to die? It's like something to do with like
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah. And then Scully, I don't think, wants to know, or she does that. She's like, at first she doesn't want to know, and then later in the episode,
it's like, okay,
she's like, tell me, and he's like, funny thing, you don't.
Yeah, you're not going to die.
And she's like, what? And then like they never really explain it, but there are episodes later where you kind of get what, like,
what's the guy, Titus or Tithonus?
Yeah,
maybe?
Tithonus.
Or, yeah, whatever it is, where the guy that takes people's pictures.
Yeah.
And whoever his picture he takes, I can't remember the exact part of this, but whoever's picture he takes he like takes their spirit or something like that, keeping him alive or something mm-hmm. like that, and she ends up taking his picture or something like that.
Yeah,
I think I don't remember the exact thing, but whatever it was, it had something to do with some camera and it keeps her alive forever now. So now she's not going to die.
Yeah, something. Yeah,
I would have figured it was something like, oh, when she got abducted, that.
No, no, it had to do with the with a supernatural camera.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, and you're right, and I that's a couple of seasons later, I think, or maybe, yeah, yeah, I think it's called Tithonus or Tithonus or something like that is the name of the episode. Because I was talking about that with somebody I work with. They were watching the X-Files, and we talked about that, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly.
The guy that plays it seems like he was. Pretty famous dude, I think. I'll have to look that up.
But Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, man. All I mean, there's some. What is it? Yappy. The is it Yappy? I think is the guy's name that's on the TV. He's like the television.
Yeah.
Like, and they bring him in. He's like the psychic that they bring in, but he's just this totally goofball character. Really funny. And like I said, it's
the
just
amazing.
The amazing Yappy. Yeah, yeah. And it's just a funny episode. But like I said, it's also really poignant and sad. And it's just a great episode, man.
All around.
I just really, really like that episode. So that's my number three, is Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. Number two is going to be another two-parter. I'm going to cheat again. Don't care. Unusual Suspects and Three of a Kind. This is the origins of the Lone Gunman, starting with Unusual Suspects. And then I think it's a season later, they pick up with... Because the Unusual Suspects starts with they're all at like an FCC conference or something. Or like a tech conference, and one of the Lone Gunman buyers is there. Is like he works for the FCC, and Frohickey and Langley are there selling their electronics products or whatever.
Yeah, selling their cable descramblers.
Yeah, their cable descramblers.
Yeah, cable descramblers.
Yeah, and they basically threw, you know, this lady Suzanne Modesky fall into this like, you know, government plot, you know, to like. Test some substance out on the public in Baltimore. Mulder is tracking her, so that's how Mulder meets the Lone Gunman.
Yeah, because she's wanted by the FBI.
Yeah, she's wanted by the FBI because she's been accused of, like, you know, killing her research team at, like, you know, some, you know, facility like White Sands in New Mexico or something. And she's, like, tracking, trying to find the evidence she needs to expose this whole, like... Because she's, like, an organic chemist or something. And so she's like, I worked on this thing, and I found out what they're going to do with it, and so I left. But you can't just quit my job. They basically framed me for murder. They scrubbed my whole team, i.e. they killed them. And they hung those murders on me. And so she's basically, like, you know, desperate for help. The Lone Gunman kind of, you know... You know, they all kind of swoon over her and, like, you know, help her out because they're all kind of sort of, you know, naive fucking
nerds.
Yeah. And they, you know, they help her out. And it's just done really well. And then the kind of cool thing is, you know, you have, like, you know, X is in that episode.
Yeah.
He's not until, you know, kind of towards the end. But he's the one who turns out he names the Lone Gunman, really. Because they ask him about, you know, they're like the whole JFK thing, and he's like, you know...
What about this? What about that?
And he's
that?
Like, I heard it was a Lone Gunman. And then he, like, walks off, and I'm like, yeah, that's where the, you know, fucking X dubbed them. He wasn't naming them the Lone Gunman, but they took that and took it on as their own, as their name. And then you have Three of a Kind, which picks up years later. They're at a conference in Las Vegas, and they see Suzanne Modesky, and it kind of kicks off this whole other thing where Mulder's not available. I can't remember what the reason is. So they call Scully. So Scully comes out to Las Vegas and kind of falls in with them. Because for some... I can't remember what
but
the reason was.
They don't call Scully proprietarily. They fake like it was something someone else calling her out.
Was that what they did?
I think so.
Okay.
And poor that's Scully. Why she's a little mad when she gets
yeah,
out
yeah.
there.
They basically rope Scully
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they spoof it like it was Mulder calling her.
Okay, that could have. And it's just another great episode. It's like, you know, it's like a 1-2 punch kind of. But the cool thing about Three of a Kind is it almost plays out like, you know, Ocean's 11 kind of, sort of. They have like some, you know, casino caper-ish kind of stuff going on in that one, which I thought was kind of neat too. And it's the Lone Gunman, man. I mean, it's just, they're great, great, you know, secondary side characters. You have, you know, now this time Scully's, you know, having to deal with them and stuff. And this is really the first time that Scully has spent an extended period of time with the Lone Gunman. And it just makes for good television.
Yeah, plus she gets roofied and gets hit on by Michael McKean or whatever his name is.
Was that in the Three of a... Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
He lights her cigarette.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So yeah, just that's my number two. That two, the kind of, it's not necessarily a two-parter, but they're two that go together in my opinion, which
they tie
is
together.
Whenever you watch it on, if you watch it on Netflix, if you watch, they're separated by a season at least. If you watch Three of a Kind, it starts out showing you Unusual Suspects, what happened in it, like last time
previously
on X-Files.
On,
yeah.
X-Files, yeah.
So that's and for that, I think that kind of helps validate me putting them together. And so then my number one is Jose Chung's From Outer Space. It's very lighthearted. It's funny. It's
got some crazy shit in
it's
it.
It's got a lot of crazy stuff in it. It's got a unique way that the story's told. The story is told essentially against the backdrop of an author trying to write a book about an X-File. A guy that's totally not, he's not in the loop with Mulder and Scully. He's a civilian.
Yeah, he just heard about the story and was like,
exactly.
Oh,
and he's like,
and
he's like a famous author. And he's like, I'm going to write that. This is my next story is going to be this, a supernatural, like, or an extraterrestrial story. And it's just about him trying to get information. And it's all the different ways that different people recount the events that they, as they experience them. And it has some pretty neat cameos. I don't want to ruin
them. Line up. The stories don't line up.
Isn't Scully like a fan of his too?
When he's sitting there talking to him, she's like, you know, he mentions some book and she's like, the greatest thriller ever written. And he's like, he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And Mulder's really kind of like, doesn't want anything to do with him.
He just thinks he's another.
Towards the end though, Mulder kind of, cause he's like, cause Mulder's more worried, like, you're going to make these people a joke.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a really funny episode. It's almost like it shows that the X-Files, I think that was maybe one of the first examples. I don't know if it was the first, but I think it was the best example to show how self-aware the X-Files was. To show that, yeah, we know that, you know, people probably look at some of the plot lines and stuff in this and roll their eyes and laugh, like, oh, the tinfoil hat wearing crowd. Well, here's a send-up of, we're basically spoofing ourselves in a lot of ways. And I thought it worked so well. It just worked great.
At the same time, like, maybe some.
Yeah, maybe something. Maybe something was happening here. So, you know, I just think it was a great episode. If somebody were to ask me, I'm only going to watch one X-File. Which one should it be? I just, you know what? Watch Jose Chung's From Outer Space. I'm not going to send him to watch a mythology episode because the hell they'll have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you've got to follow that through.
I'm going to pick a one off, and it's going to be that. So
that's cool.
That's my top five. I'll go over them again really quick. Darkness Falls, number 5. Nisei, 731, number 4. Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, number 3. Number 2, Unusual Suspects and Three of a Kind. And numero uno, Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
Nice. Good list.
Yeah.
Best list. But,
yeah.
I mean, I figure we start with the best and end with the shit, so.
All right. That'd be mine. So, I'm last? Is that what we're saying?
No. Do you want to go? You
got it. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Steve, what is Steve's top five X-Files?
I didn't really order these. I can tell
you. I don't do it. I just kind of do top episodes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes,
like I said, the professionalism is going to end.
Yeah.
And the sort of just spitballing is going to start. Okay.
I can tell you what my number one episode is, and the four behind it we'll just do in whatever order.
Okay.
Well, do your four behind. Do your four behind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do first.
Cool.
I'll do the four behind it first.
All right.
In no particular order, from season one, pretty early on, Squeeze. Got
a good one.
Mulder, I think it's the second episode.
Yeah, it's the second episode.
Yeah, and they start clicking real quick. I mean, is it the second episode?
It's like second or third. It's really early. Like
pilot
first four, or five.
It's a third episode, I think.
Yeah, you go ahead and talk about it. I'll find out which.
Anyway,
one it was.
So you get Mulder and Scully to actually start clicking and be on the same page. Like they start facing these external pressures, and so they start bonding together.
Is that why you like this
three.
Episode?
Yeah, that's part of the reason I like the episode. It's when the series started firing on all cylinders for me.
Okay.
Now, it had some false starts in there, but
yeah.
But you know, that's when it just clicked.
Well, that's why I wonder, because I mean it's technically a freak of the week.
Yeah.
The guy's like, it's called Squeeze. It's a guy like squeezing under doors and shit.
This guy, Victor Toombs.
Eugene Victor Toombs.
Which
he came back for another episode later.
Toombs,
yeah.
So he eats people's livers, and he hibernates for like 30 years at a go, I think.
Yeah.
And the reason he's able to get away with this is because he the people's livers that he eats, he's able to break into wherever they're at and in a way that is impossible for anyone to have broken into. So, because he can contort his body in a way that he can squeeze through like the tiniest of openings. And so it was just a fun episode, I thought. You had this weirdo eating dead animals off the streets and stuff like that they're chasing down. And
it's a great episode.
Yeah, you got Donald Logan there, always great.
Yep.
You know, from he had a show, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a
like a TV show from Blade. I mean, the guy from Blade that was kind of funny, the comic relief dude from Blade. He had his own show. He was in Life.
Yeah, with Damian Lewis. Yep.
Yeah. Played the
great
replacement.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Oh, fantastic
show. Yeah, that was like one of those short-lived shows that you're like, good man, how
does it? Yeah, of course, American Idol is like on its ending show after freaking 13 years of terrorizing the airwaves.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, but we only get what was it two seasons of life? Yeah, that was a great show, man.
One of the best villains ever in that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So the next episode I would say would be Syzygy. Syzygy with got Ryan Reynolds in that episode. You've got what's her face from that?
What season was that? Yeah.
The chick from that 70s show played Eric's sister until she, I guess she passed away from
Lisa Robin Kelly.
Yeah, Lisa Robin Kelly. Yeah, she passed away now. But, you know, the whole premise of that show, which was funny, was it was another, I mean, you're going to be basically looking at Monster of the Week episodes because I'm hugely partial to
this. I think the reason I didn't like this one was just because of what it was about. Not that it didn't have great stuff in the actual episode.
Yeah, I didn't care so much about the
I was like, planets are aligning and they can control people.
Yeah, it was a bullshit premise. What I liked about it was the actual interactions that came out from it. I liked Mulder and Scully just being at each other's throats, just about nonsense the whole time, insulting each other.
It turned a lot of things on its ear.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was pretty much over, except for Mulder and Scully still being a little pissed at each other at the end.
Yeah, no, I like that episode too. It's a good one.
War of the Coprophages.
That's that one, man. I wanted to be on. I wanted it on my top five. I wanted it so bad to be there. That's a great episode.
This is another. I'm like bug one.
Oh
right?
Man, it's
cockroaches or.
Yeah, we got another good guest star here, Tyler Labine. Tyler Labine.
Who?
He was in Reaper. He was in Hilarious. Hilarious actor. Jeez. He had a Hulu show not too long ago where he talks to ghosts. Anyway, so you have people thinking that cockroaches are taking over or taking over their town, and the whole town is just going nuts. I mean, there's panic everywhere. People are dying from cockroach attacks.
And you're like, how the hell can this happen?
Yeah, and there's all these different explanations as to what's going on.
Yeah, he was the stoner.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I remember that. He was like in his basement making that like...
Yeah, they were smoking like the cow manure.
Yeah, this guy right here. It'll load up for you in a second. That guy. They're like in his basement smoking cow dung or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so every time Mulder would call with a new thing that was just inexplicable, he'd call Scully, he'd explain it, and she'd say, "Well, Mulder, have you checked whatever? Because sometimes..."
Yeah, because she's not there.
No,
he's like
on
calling
the phone.
Her. Yeah, he's like always calling her saying, like, "Hey, I got this now."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, but did you look at this?" And he's like, "Oh," and he looks at it like... It keeps getting explained until...
And she goes, "I'm coming up there." He goes, no, it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
Because she's like, at home.
Yeah, she's chilling, like at home right? Trying to sleep, I think,
well,
or something,
she's washing
right?
Queequeg.
Oh,
the,
yeah, she's washing her dog.
The dog she
yeah,
inherited
yeah.
from Clyde Bruckman.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a nice little tie in there, yeah.
And so, anyway, you know, you get all these different explanations from it being the fumes in the... in the plant, the fertilizer plant or whatever that are there.
Yeah.
To it being a, I guess, what was her name? Her Dr. Bambi or whatever yeah. was saying that.
Yeah, Dr. Bambi Barenbaum.
Yeah, she had a theory for it, and then he went and talked to a Stephen Hawking facsimile, I guess, where his theory was that, you know, that Mulder kind of, I think, incorporated into what he was doing. That if there were travelers from another planet, they would probably become in that form of bugs, you know.
Okay.
And he was thinking that, you know, there were robots, they were all kinds of, I mean, just
something, yeah,
you know. And so it was just a fun little episode. I'm and probably not doing it justice, I haven't watched it in a while.
Well, wasn't that another one too where there was like the whole episode was almost being told, recounted back. And, like, whenever Mulder went out there, like, he had an impression of how Bambi was. And then when Scully came out and finally met her, like, it was different. Like, what episode am I thinking of
think
that's
so.
Like that?
I think you're confusing it with another one. I'm not sure.
Okay. That's fair enough, then. All right, so anyway, yeah, I agree. That's a great episode.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
And then Jose Chung, it's on my list also. It's not my favorite, but it's definitely on my list. You know, any episode with Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah. Anytime he's in something,
and he's good in it.
Get
he's,
my attention.
He's in it very shortly, but he's good.
He's got like a couple lines.
Yeah, yeah. He's plays a, you know, a man in black.
Yeah, yeah. But it works.
And it works great. Yeah, that's like I said. Yeah. If I had to recommend one episode to somebody who's never watched it, I'd be like, pick Jose Chung's from Outer Space.
Spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons and not learn a little something about
courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best fucking lines in the whole series.
You're like, okay, buddy.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And like his reaction, his reaction to it, where he's just kind of like, okay. And like, you know.
And my top episode would have to be Bad Blood.
See, when we were talking about this, you almost like faked me out because I knew you loved Bad Blood.
Yeah, it's
and you kind of, I thought you were like, yeah, that'd be my top.
Which one's that?
So Bad Blood, I think, it's in season 5.
Yeah, I think
and,
it's season 5.
It's where Mulder and Scully go out to investigate vampires. And it starts off at a weird spot where, in the middle of it, Mulder stakes this kid, Ham Porter from the Sandlot.
Yeah, the catcher from the Sandlot.
Yeah,
Chubby Cheeks from Son-in-Law, you know, the Big Green himself.
This is the one I'm thinking of. This is the one I'm thinking of where they both have a different...
Yes.
Mulder thinks he's like a Luke Wilson, Luke Wilson is like kind of a buck-tooth kind of... He's just sort of like a...
Well,
like a like
Scully
a,
tells it first.
Yeah, and
so,
he's like really dashing
just
and...
very suave, very handsome, and just very smart. Oh,
and he's like
a
sheriff. He's a sheriff, right?
Yeah, he's a sheriff. Oh, yeah, Dana, that's really smart what you're... You know, she retold it where he was very complimentary of her ideas.
And he was very dashing. And kind of like she, and when Mulder tells it, he's sort of like, you know, this country bumpkin, like
y'all the government folks.
Y'all the government folks.
And Luke Wilson just nails it. So overall, good episode, and you know, Skinner's in it, so that's always a plus too.
Sure,
I'd say that made my number one episode for sure.
Bad Blood, yeah, and again, like I said, I think it starts off great because he's running through the woods, he's chasing that kid, he shoots him. And then he jumps on top of him. He shoots him.
No, he shot him earlier. But not in that part.
Because he finally falls down. And like right before it comes in, he's like on top of him. And he's looking up at him. And his little vampire fangs come down. And he's like, oh, shit. And then it cuts to the X-Files. Like,
yeah, what happened was...
Does he stake him?
Yeah, he stakes
him. Oh, he stakes him. Okay.
Because the kid had come in, not in that order, but in the retelling it in the actual order.
But the opening
occurred.
Of the episode, I mean.
In the opening, in the actual event, the way the actual events were playing out, the kid comes over, he's a pizza delivery kid, and he's been acting outside of the scope of what the town of vampires says is acceptable. They drink like cow blood and they go about their business. But this
not
kid,
killing people.
Right. This kid, he wants to, you know, live the vampire ideal. And so they don't even have real fangs. They just drink blood or whatever. And they're, you know, somewhat nocturnal-ish, kind of. Anyway, so he drugs people as a pizza delivery kid.
Yeah.
And then he goes and, you know, exsanguinates them. Well, so Mulder's eating this pizza. And he realizes he's getting drugged, and the kid comes in and he throws his seeds around, and he's throwing seeds. Evidently, one of the myths makes vampires sit down and have to count it. Yeah. The other kid sits there and counts it, and I think Scully shows up whenever the kid is about to bite Mulder and shoots a couple of times. Well, from Scully's perspective, she didn't hit. From Mulder's perspective, he did. The kid runs off. Mulder starts to regain his senses. As he's getting out of the apartment, or hotel room, rather, he breaks this chair, grabs a piece of it, and runs off into the woods after the kid.
Yeah.
And then he chases him down. And what you see in the very beginning is him chasing him down, knocking him down, and
staking
him.
And then his little fangs slide down, and he's like, oh, shit. And then it cuts. Yeah, okay, all right. So, all right, so those are your top five.
Yeah.
Pretty good, pretty good.
I didn't really pick a top five. I
just like James Bond. Pick a top five.
I actually wasn't even going to make a list, and I started looking at your two.
And you realized how garbage they were, and I got to make my own.
Well, like yours, it was Steve's. It was like Freak of the Week kind of.
Love the Monster of the Week, you know, format.
And that's what I'm saying. Like I was kind of telling you, it's like sometimes people like, yeah, it's a Freak of the Week one, but it's like this certain one, and there's just something about it, be it the whatever the monster was, or just something in the episode that just works.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I picked a lot of mine. Like, I'll just kind of name some of them off.
All right.
But a lot of mine are, like, the mythology episodes. They're the
Which is good. I mean, hey, that's the main thrust of the show.
The first one I put down, I think it's a two-parter, Ascension and One Breath.
No. Dwayne Barry.
Ascension. Okay, and then Ascension.
That's... I think One Breath is aside from all that, I think.
I don't think so. I think that's one breath being part... There's a boat... involved in it.
Well, that's what Scully. She's like, yeah, Scully's on the verge
about to die.
Yeah, and it's her sister. But I don't think that has anything to do with.
I think it's tied together to him.
I think
it's Dwayne Barry, Ascension, and One Breath. I think because they find her.
No, you have Dwayne Barry, Ascension, 3, then One Breath.
Okay, well, 3 is outside. 3 is those little vampires that Mulder runs into in like L.A. and it's filmed in this weird color.
Yeah, I remember
that.
It's
like black and white.
No, it's kind of like reddish, really.
Like sepia or whatever.
But basically, that's the one where like Scully gets...
They find her after the stuff that happened with Dwayne Barry.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess it's kind of a...
She's gone for an episode or something. I think what's actually going on in real life is Gillian Anderson was pregnant.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was.
And they kind of tied it into...
So I guess it's really a three-party. It's Dwayne Barry, Ascension, and then they skip one.
Yes.
And then they have One Breath.
Yes.
So, okay, there you go.
And that's actually one of the most popular, like, not most popular, but, like, that's one of the highest viewed starting out as the show. Like,
you were talking about this the other day. It had how many views
like
back in...
almost 17 million. Like,
In the 90s.
Back in the 90s, and that was, like, if there was a television on at that time when it was airing, 10% of them were watching that episode.
Is this, like, Nielsen ratings? Is this...
Something like that, yeah.
I think, is that how that works?
Which is crazy now because you have shows that are, like, big hit shows nowadays get how many views?
Like, The Walking Dead and, like, you know, whatever popular show that...
Game of Thrones, maybe?
Yeah, it's, like... 10, 11, 12. And that's just saying the change of TV.
But here's the problem. The Nielsen ratings, because that's what you're quoting. I'm 99% certain. Nielsen ratings do not take into account anything that's not watched during the prime time. So if someone is going back and watching something on demand or watching it online or something.
But you got
to
think that wasn't available back then.
Right.
So that's why, like, you know.
That's a pretty big number. 17 million people watched that episode. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Popular. Yeah.
That's to show how popular the X-Files was when it was out.
Like, some shows get to stick around just because they've got over a million.
Yeah.
Viewers in that a week, and that's it.
Well, I remember when we were in high school, man, we would go over to a friend's house Sunday nights, and we would watch The X-Files. I mean, that was the thing we did.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we were talking about Fox being a, you know, early, like, it was kind of like one of its early hits.
It might have been its first big
hit. Yeah, maybe it was. I don't know.
I mean, I know they got...
Simpsons.
Oh, Simpsons, yeah.
Simpsons.
Yeah.
But Simpsons, it was part of that, because I think... They came on the same night, right? Sunday nights?
I think it was Simpsons, then X-Files.
And that's kind of why I bring some of these episodes up. Like, one, it's like, it's really big on... I don't know everything about the episode. It's just big on the mythology and for, like, reasons like that. Like, plus it was, you know, we were talking about this. Billy gets abducted. Or she gets kidnapped.
She gets kidnapped, yeah.
She gets abducted
by
later.
Dwayne Barry.
Yeah, she gets abducted by Dwayne Barry, and, like, I was talking about those to you. Like, they didn't want to have that in the episode. The censors and just producers and the people from Fox didn't want to have a picture of Scully getting loaded into a trunk. Because they were just like, that's just
There might have been something going on at the time too. Maybe that was a little.
I don't know, but it just kind of imitating life too much. The time, I guess, where it's like, you know, nowadays, like that's.
Well, I can kind of see that from the
I could totally see why.
From the perspective of, you know, you've got an FBI agent and that completely, you know, undermines any of her authority, right?
Yeah,
she's supposed to be the one doing the chasing, not the one getting chased.
Was Waco going on around that time?
Yeah, I think Waco had already happened.
Yeah, Waco was like 92.
Ascension One Breath was what, 94?
Yeah,
Waco was 93.
Was it 93? Okay, mm-hmm. So 92 or 93, something like that.
So it just happened.
So okay, so yeah. But yeah, that's a good stretch. I like that. Was it, I'm Dwayne Berry.
Yeah, and then I've got a Colony Endgame. I think that's another two-parter.
Yeah. Yep.
The Alien Bounty Hunter.
That's what I was... That's Alien Bounty Hunter. That's the first episode.
What's that
Alien
guy's
Bounty
name?
I don't know, man.
That's a side character we didn't even mention earlier.
Bad guy from Cobra.
Yeah.
He's not really in much.
No, he was literally in Cobra, I think, and then X-Files. That's it? No, he's in other stuff, too.
Brian Thompson.
He's in other stuff too,
but yeah, he's a great recurring character.
He was in the Terminator, Cobra.
He's like, he shows up and you're just like, oh shit! You know, every time you're watching the X-Files, you're like, oh.
I just laugh at the stuff in Cobra. That was such a bad movie.
Yeah,
it had one good thing going for it. It had a 1943 Plymouth Custom in it.
Yeah, that was a badass car.
Man. I'm not 100% on this. Was it also the first episode with like the black oil stuff in people's eyes?
No, I think that was Piper Maru.
And see that's I think that's why I put this down. I had Piper
this is
and
Piper Maru, and
those,
stuff
that's
is
another
after that.
Two-parter.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think unless it's season one, I don't think
it's
season
not season one.
It's
no.
Like two or three, and
then it would probably be the black oil,
and that's why I named that down. I kind of threw
so
in
Piper
a random.
Maru must explain.
It's not Freak of the Week, but it is kind of a one-off. Episode, I put Grotesque down.
One of my least favorite episodes.
Yeah,
the Gargoyles?
I can see why, because I kind of agree. But it's kind of also like that... Was it?
Zigi, yeah.
It's kind of like that episode where it was like, it's got some crazy stuff where...
Because you have Mulder's like mentor. Kirkwood Smith.
Plus it's like he starts thinking he's a gargoyle or something, or like
he's
turning
into
a gargoyle or something, and like
he's been after this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And he brings Mulder in to help him crack the case.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Mulder and him have been, you know, separate for some time, and like Mulder helps him crack the case, and then he starts to go crazy himself. Kirkwood Smith does. Which another that 70s show actor.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why I brought that episode up, because it's kind of the same thing where I'm like, you know, if you're really thinking about good episodes, like, it's not it. But there's cool things in there.
You liked it enough.
Where it's like, okay, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, you're allowed to be wrong about at least one.
I guess so. But I brought up a lot of the mythology ones.
But, I mean, hell, like, you talk about it and I start thinking about it. I'm like, I remember that episode distinctly. So, I mean, I didn't hate that episode.
I think that's kind of why. Like, yeah. Just like even like that one I didn't like of yours, I still remembered it, where it's like,
you get some good backstory.
Like, they're fighting. They're like going after each other. And you're just like, oh my God, it's just completely different.
Sure.
A lot of my episodes, like, I think this is what I liked about the show in general. Overall, it's kind of a downer. Like, it's just like, bummer, man. Like, the government, like, they're running things. And we are all just... whether it's an alien invasion or like that...
The shadow government.
The shadow government, or like that one where that's like three of a kind and the lone gunman. What was the original?
Oh, Unusual Suspects.
Unusual Suspects. It's like there's some kind of government plot where like they're going to do a bio attack on the populace and nobody knows about it. And like, but I think that's kind of like what makes it good too, where it's like episodes like you named, Drew, where it's really like lighthearted and funny, and or just a completely different perspective from maybe a character that's not even in the show. It's just in that one episode.
Sure.
And you, or it's a crazy twist. Like, I never thought about that. Or you're just like, huh, when you watch it. It's not even a downer. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. And I think the X-Files did that really well. When the X-Files wanted to be funny, in my opinion,
instead of just doing just complete filler episodes,
they knocked
like
it out of the park.
Of the week.
Yeah, yeah. And
they,
I think,
really
it just
do
showed
a good job of melding all that together.
Yeah, I thought it was a very versatile show.
Yeah.
So, were there any others that you had, or
that was it? That was it. That's as far as I got, as far as just like listing.
Okay.
Mainly, if you want to like think about my favorite episodes, it's the mythology.
I'm like,
you like all the, okay,
alien,
you like all
invasion,
the,
yeah,
the government
up,
conspiracy
baby.
And all that. Yeah. I hear you. Okay, so all that out of the way, then let's at least briefly talk about.
Are we running over time?
We're
going on.
We're about an hour and 20 minutes almost.
We're longest episode.
Longest
yet,
episode right ever. But, so yeah. Let's at least briefly then. I think we were going to talk about some other stuff, like maybe, you know, some of the spinoffs. The Lone Gunman had a spinoff. Millennium had a spinoff.
Some say, is it worth it?
And I think that there. I think yeah. Both of those, I don't think either of us really. I think you liked the Lone Gunman. You thought it was a bit ahead of its time. You thought it was
extremely ahead of its time. It was the spiritual predecessor to Chuck.
Chuck worked. Yeah. Lone Gunman didn't. I didn't really care for the Lone Gunman. I'm not a huge fan of Chuck either. Millennium.
I haven't watched it. I've been interested and want
to. You should at least give him a shot.
I never would have even thought of it as a tie-in to any of this. And it kind of piques my interest. I'm like,
and there was also like some Millennium, and I don't think Millennium. I've never watched it.
Millennium was way darker than the X-Files was.
Yeah,
and I didn't really care for it.
Fringe. I never watched Fringe.
I've watched some Fringe.
Fringe is kind of the same kind of vein as that. You can tell it's inspired by the X-Files.
I think Fringe actually borrowed a lot from the X-Files.
It was on Fox, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about those. Let's just talk about we got. 6 new episodes. How excited are you for the X-Files coming back?
Not really.
Not really?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
I don't think they can get lightning in the bottle again, and here's why. Because a lot of what made it work for me, like I said earlier, is that it's Mulder kind of against the world. Nobody believes him. Everybody's just kind of sitting there saying, yeah, whatever, you kook, go back to your basement. But
spooky
now,
Mulder.
Spooky Mulder. But yeah. Now all of a sudden he's being, I mean, I'm basing this a little bit on
the trailer, but he's
being whisked all over the world in helicopters because Mulder's the one that can save us. And it's just kind of like, well, yeah, you kind of lost that magic for me there.
Fair enough. I'm excited for it.
It's kind of like that magic I'm talking about the show where it's like, if you're going to sit there and just have six straight episodes and it's nothing but hardcore mythology, you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah, your blend is off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I doubt that's going to happen in just 6 episodes.
But, you know,
you never know.
Obviously,
know.
I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I'm not. If I'm predicting, then I don't predict it. But, I mean, hey, I hope it does well. I love the actors. I love the X-Files. So, you know.
And I hope it's
enough.
Yeah.
For you to watch
I hope
it,
it's yeah. a springboard for more than just 6. I hope it's not done at 6.
If they can make it past 6, then yes, I think
I'll be impressed.
Not only will I be impressed, but I think that it could turn into something that I would like. If I'm predicting.
Fair enough. And I hope it does. I really because
I've heard it's not so great.
Yeah, I know you've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just from people that have screened it already. But I mean,
well, the
that's
last
critics.
Movie was,
I mean,
the last movie was horrible.
See, I watched it a couple days ago. I didn't think it was that bad, but I could see why you would think it's horrible.
Nothing good about it for me.
The first movie I love.
If you're like going into a movie like, man, I watched the first movie, and you know, I'm looking for more of that or something. That's not in that newest.
That movie's a freak of the week movie, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, at best, and it just
it's
like a long episode that you're just kind of like, all right.
I didn't even get. I honestly didn't even get the feel that it was an X-File. That's
it was just kind of like, hey, we're revisiting Skulder, Mulder and Scully.
I think
and
we should
like,
refer to them as one
Skulder.
Unit. Skulder.
Yeah,
now. That's it.
You just kind of go. You just kind of like see them Mully. Like later on, and you're like, cool. And there they are later on in life.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I
followed you whenever you told me years ago. You were like, "It's bad, it's bad." I was like, "Okay, I'm not going to watch it then." And I
well,
have
what
never kind watched of
piqued
it.
My interest is I was looking up some of these episodes for this podcast, and Roger Ebert gave it like a positive rating, like, "Oh, it's a decent thriller."
Time to run.
Yeah, and I'm like, "What the hell?" Like,
I mean, this is a guy that said video games could never be art.
But it kind of ties into like what you're talking about. Like, is this going to be a good run? Are you happy? Like the run of the X Files is coming back.
I'm thrilled
because what he said about this latest movie was like, it works like a classic thriller, like thrillers used to work. And I kind of wonder. I'm like, have we aged out of talking about?
You know, he brings up a good point in that I do think Chris Carter should be given some credit for being a student of filmography.
Yeah,
in general,
just not even
and,
just
and so X-Files. He's probably right in a sense that it was a formula that was probably used before, And it might not have been seen as much lately. And Chris Carter, if anybody can bring it to life, it's him. It's just probably a formula that I didn't particularly care for, and I didn't think it fit with the whole tone of the X-Files as it existed before.
It almost seems like, from what I've heard, that they should have done this second movie as the first movie, and then ended things with the second movie having a big mythology.
But I don't think you could have done that.
I'll counter with, I don't think they should have ever done the second movie and done the first movie.
Fair enough, because I really like the first movie.
Yeah, because I would agree, because it's kind of like, you know, after watching it, yeah, it's, you know, just okay, but like, why bother?
Yeah.
Other than just checking in on those characters, like, hey, here they are.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
That's really about it.
Plus, you had a, what's his name? Was it Kurzweil? Is that his name? First movie?
Yeah. Martin Landau.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
Straight out of Rounders, man. Still.
Yeah.
Still rounding.
It was rounding. It was a great movie. It pushed the mythology forward. You know, it answered a few questions, but left you with a lot more. And it was at the height of the series, and it just kind of kept things going. I thought it was a great movie.
Oh, it was perfect. Yeah. It advanced everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's why I bring up the latest one, with like, well, this new stuff.
Well,
is it worth checking in on these people anymore?
I guess
we're gonna find out.
I say yes because they ended the way that it ended, and again, and I've heard, and this it was a strange thing I heard, but I heard that it was like a quick one sentence analysis of the new 6-episode run was X-Files goes Alex Jones, which Alex Jones is the InfoWars guy. Like, if you've ever
black
seen him, he's like the black helicopters and the government's doing. And I was kind of like, well, wait, they're saying that like it's a bad thing.
So I don't know.
Alex Jones is, you know, whatever, your opinion of him, but I mean, The X-Files was always like that, though. The X-Files is the ultimate conspiracy show.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, is that a critique, or is it a, what are they, I didn't get what
maybe
they were trying to say there.
It?
I don't know, maybe. I guess.
Know.
And we're going to see.
Or maybe it was just a soundbite.
It could, exactly, yeah. And I'm excited to see it.
Or maybe a guy
who
wasn't really into it in the first place. I don't,
Exactly.
I'm just
going
to have to watch it and judge it for myself, I guess.
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, I'm like I said, I keep saying it. I'm excited to see it. The second I heard it was coming back, I got amped up. I'm going to DVR it and try my damnedest not to watch any of it and watch it, just binge it. And hopefully
not disappointed by it. This is something I brought to you where it's like, it's kind of weird where most things that come back for something like that were like, oh, it's only a 6-episode run.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like, they just put all those episodes out on Netflix. Watch them, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, usually.
And sometimes the story and the feel of the show is different just because that format's different. But that's not what's going to happen.
No, I heard that the first two episodes are going to be back to back in days.
So it's
episode
just
one is this Sunday, the 24th of January.
It's going to be
Episode two is Monday, the 25th.
I'm a binge watcher anyway.
If I can't
watch at least 4 episodes in a go, don't even bother me.
That's what I'm saying. Like the story, just how how an episode is cut, can be different because of that.
Yeah,
I wonder if like just like what's
if
that going
to
be
cater
like
to it a little bit.
I don't know. You know.
Well, I guess we'll kind of revisit this at least, you know, me and you, Brad, talk about kind of our impressions of it later. And, you know, hey, maybe we'll have you back on, Steve, to talk about, you know, X-Files or something else entirely.
Some would say you know a little bit about some things, you know?
Yeah, a couple things,
other
maybe.
X-Files?
Yeah, you know, maybe you know a little bit more than just the X-Files. You may still be useful to us. but no, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you're our first guest, man.
Yep, you're our first guest, so you can...
We had to start somewhere. I guess we had to
Whenever we're big
bottom.
And famous and we forget all about you, you can at least tell people when you write your memoirs, I was the first guest on the Unidentified Flying Podcast.
Back, like, hey,
I set the bar a little high for future guests.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We're probably just going to edit you out anyway.
Smart play.
So, okay, so I think we're going to wrap it up. This has gone on for, man, we are rapidly approaching an hour and 30 minutes, so...
good time to cut it off.
Yeah, good time to cut it off. So, at UFP on Twitter... UFPpodcast@gmail.com. Which it is at UFP on Twitter, right?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right. Right. And unidentified.
I'm going to give you hell the whole
that's
time.
Fine, that's fine. That's fine. You can bust my chops. That's fine. And Unidentified Flying Podcast on Facebook.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay.
And if anyone just wants to search us, you know, like in some kind of podcast app or whatever, that's what you would search.
Unidentified Flying Podcast. Yes. Okay.
That is the name of our show.
So, like I said, it's time for Escape Velocity. So we're getting out of here. So once again, thank you, Steve. You want to say bye to everybody?
No.
Okay. So for the Unidentified Flying Podcast, this has been Drew and
I'm Brad.
Y'all have a good one.